Good to see you.
You as well. We get you today. That's lovely.
Thank you.
Welcome to our Lord's Day service, and we're glad you are here. We hope the service is a blessing to you. Please join us in fellowship hour after worship for refreshments. We'd love to get to know you better. For our announcements, the parking lot will be blocked off Monday through Wednesday afternoon for some much-needed repairs. I want to thank Hal Halverson for his ministry of music, and thanks to Cindy Steele for lending her beautiful voice to our worship today. This will be the last day to order daily text. The sign-up sheet is on the stand at the Narthex. And the debt relief project, which is listed in your bulletin, the deadline for that is next week. And this Thursday at 5 p.m. at Stella Maris Church in Sister Bay, Loaves and Fishes, which is a free community meal, will be served. And I have it on good authority that brats are on the menu, so you don't want to miss that. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Thank you.
watchword for the week is taken from Psalm 145, verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. Please stand, if you are able, as we sing together hymn number 775, For God So Loved Us. Your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you.
So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name.
For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy.
My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Please stand. Lesson is taken from the prophet Isaiah. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call the nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Our New Testament lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Cindy. Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but when tragedy hits, especially in my own family, all I want to do is get away. I don't want to see anyone. I don't want to be with anyone. I want to regroup because my foundations have been shaken. This happened 20 years ago for me when my parents died within 2 months of each other. After being not happy with them, I just wanted to be with family. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I wanted to think. I wanted to have time to grieve, and I certainly didn't want anyone coming up and hugging me because I knew I would be done. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt that way. You notice when there's a tragedy in the world or in the United States and the newsies get a hold of it, what does the family ask for? They say, please give us some privacy. Do they get it? No. But at least they ask for it. And sometimes we think that Jesus was impervious to tragedy, that he was impervious to all the feelings that bubble up when something terrible happens, but that's just not true. He was not a plastic saint, and he had the same feelings we had, and we see it in the passage that was read today. After Jesus heard this, he withdrew. What did he hear? He heard that his cousin had been senselessly murdered. This was his cousin, John the Baptist. And if you remember the story of John the Baptist, he had a miraculous birth. Now, as Jesus' birth was very hidden and secret, John the Baptist wasn't. He was born from an elderly priest. The whole village knew what happened, and they were all excited and thrilled about what God had done for this elderly couple. So everyone knew it. It was quite, the publicity was quite wonderful, even in those days, word of mouth. And so John was famous from birth. And by the time Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was a household name. And he didn't have to go to the temple to be recognized. He didn't have to walk into a synagogue. He was out in the wilderness and everybody came to him. Even religious leaders came to him. He insulted them regularly, and they took it because he was a famous guy. He was an Old Testament prophet, and people wanted to hear what he had to say. Even soldiers, Roman soldiers, came to speak with him. This was a man of great power. And when Jesus came to be baptized, it was at that time when he came up out of the waters from John's baptism that the heavens were ripped open and he heard the voice of God. John also supplied him with disciples. Did you know that? Some of the closest disciples of Jesus had been disciples of John. So this man was pivotal in Jesus' life. John made the mistake of speaking truth to power. And he told Herod and his new wife that they were in sin. And so King Herod jailed John the Baptist. But King Herod was quite taken with John, so he would visit him in prison. But one day, King Herod held a party, and alcohol flowed, and judgment went out the window. And a young girl was dancing before Herod, and he was so enthralled with his stepdaughter's dancing that he said, I'll give you half the kingdom. Anything you want. So she's like, let me ask Mom, what should I ask for? And she was probably thinking, you know, jewels or a piece of property. But Mom said, ask him for the head of John the Baptist. And here's where the story is so senseless and so skewed. Because Herod, having broken God's commandments at will for so long, his values were warped. Because he said, I have to keep my word. Now, he murdered a man to keep his word. Something's wrong with that picture. He could have said, little girl, pick something else. I know your mother set you up for this, but he was so drunk and so stupid. He said, well, I'm sorry about this. And he had a prophet of Almighty God executed. And when Jesus heard this, he got away. He went to a deserted place. Now, deserted places in that day and age were not places, the reason they were deserted is nobody wanted to go there. It was wilderness, it was barren, it was rocks. It was thought that that was where the demons resided. You did not want to go to a deserted place unless you really wanted to be alone. But the Bible says that the crowds also heard this. Well, he was a famous guy, this John the Baptist. So they had heard the news too. and they could see that Jesus was going away, well, they wanted to follow because they wanted some word of comfort. It didn't matter to them that Jesus was hurting. They were hurting. And you all know that when we're in tragedy, when things happen to us, there are people still that have needs, that even though they might be sympathetic to our needs, they still need our help, and they still clamor for our help. And so they went on foot, and they found him. And he could have said, folks, come back tomorrow. I'll have a word for you tomorrow. I've got to pray about this. But he didn't. The Bible says that he was so filled with compassion for these people that he spent the entire day healing them. And then when it was late, the disciples came to him in their compassion and said, this is an awfully desolate place, Lord. Send them away. They've got to find something to eat. And he said no. And you know the miracle, how he took this little bit and he fed thousands of people. And the illustration there is that even when we do not have anything left, there is more than enough in God's economy. There's more than enough compassion to go around. There's more than enough resources. There's more than enough grace. When we feel that we are completely depleted, God gives us what we need, all of what we need, in order to meet the clamoring needs around us. This is our faith. This is our joy. This is our power. We often think of power in terms of military might, in terms of political power, in terms of physical strength, but the real power is that compassion that the Holy Spirit stirs in us when we think we have nothing left to give. And so, dear friends, when we have expended our last resources and we say we have nothing else, we want to be alone, we need to regroup. Remember, in God's economy, there is always more than enough to feed the hungry, to tend to the sick, to build people up, to be God's people in a lost and dying world. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful, grateful for your compassion, grateful that even when things are senseless, there is enough of your grace and mercy to lead us through. Help us, O Lord, this day to take this word to the people who are in need. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue to worship our Lord with the giving of our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
We bring our praise reports and our prayer concerns. We want to celebrate with Don and Donna Nelson. They are celebrating 65 years of wedded bliss, and they're usually here virtually, so Don, you are a lucky man. And congratulations. And yesterday we were privileged to baptize Chloe Grace, who is Karen Eckberg's great-granddaughter. For our concerns, we want to remember Chuck in our prayers. This is one of our neighbors from Bethany Lutheran who has been having some struggles. So let's remember him in our prayers. Kathy, and Kathy, it's so good to see you in church today. Jane, Kay, Carrie, and Mazwi. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for your grace and your love and your mercy. We're so grateful that Don and Donna are celebrating 65 years of marriage. We ask that you would continue to bless and guide them. We're so grateful for Chloe Grace and for the joy that she has brought into her family. We ask that you would continue to bless that young life. We bring before you those who are ill, those who are struggling, those who need a special touch from you. We bring before you Chuck and Kathy, Kay, Jane, Carrie, and Mazwi. We ask that your peace and your grace and your mercy would surround them. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before you to lead you. God, go behind you to protect you. God, go beneath you to support you. God, go beside you to befriend you. Do not be afraid. May the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you. Do not be afraid. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Now, usually at this time, we have a postlude, and we will be having a postlude called Postludium, and it's actually going to be a choir. You're all going to sing Happy Birthday in just a moment. I want to talk about Cindy Steele. Cindy reached a milestone birthday yesterday. Now, I had met Cindy some years ago. I think it was at a concert at the Unitarian Fellowship. She was singing there, and it was a lovely concert, and I got to meet her briefly, and I think I impulsively hugged her and then thought, oh, that was kind of rude of me, and she said, I like hugs. And the first time I walked into the Unitarian Fellowship as a congregant was when I wanted to go to every church, and each church on my holidays, I would pick another church in Door County and worship with them. So it was time to try the Unitarians out, and Cindy saw me, and I was hoping to sit in the back rows, because that's what everybody likes to do in church, is go to the back. She ushered me right to the front. Come sit with me, Dawn. And I felt the love of her and those around me, and it was just lovely. Cindy would sing for us usually once, maybe twice a year, up until 2020. And 2020, as you know, everything shut down. And I was trying to figure out how can we create a meaningful service with nobody in the building and just a camera and me and Colin Welford. And so I called Cindy up and I said, could you come at least once a month? And I figured, you know, we'll be open in a couple of months, we'll be fine. Well, once a month turned into every single month for over a year. Not only did she sing during our live services, but you know how creative Colin is. He would do some recorded services where he had his cameras and he had his script with thousands of little pieces and parts in there. And she would spend countless hours working with him, rehearsing to get everything just right. And she gave of herself, of her music, of her time, of her talents, always with abandon and always thanking us for the privilege of doing it. And we wanted to say thank you, Cindy. We are so blessed by you. You are our bright and shining star. We call her now a Unimoravian or a Moravitarian, whichever one you like. We have some birthday cards. We have birthday wishes. After we sing happy birthday, I'll be escorting Cindy right to Fellowship Hall so that we can greet you. So we hope that you greet her and thank her. This is our way of saying thank you to you for all that you've done for us, for being such a partner with us, especially during those 2 years when we just didn't know what we were going to do. We thank you, Cindy. So let Hal hit it, and we're going to sing out to Cindy.